All right, sports fans, how's everybody out there doing? William Martin coming at you one more time with another edition of the 300 Pounds of Sports Knowledge podcast. Well, folks, and then there were two, as we are down to two Major League Baseball teams that still have the opportunity to call themselves World Series champions for 2015. The National League champions are the New York Mets, and they will take on the American League champions in the Kansas City Royals. Now, entering this fall classic, we are assured that one streak will end. The Royals' last World Series title came in 1985, while it was 1986 for the Mets. And you look at these two teams, they've had different roads to get there, but these are two teams that really took care of business in the first couple of rounds of the playoffs to get to this point. Now, the Royals are hopeful that history does not work against them. And the reason why I say that, the last team to lose a World Series and make the World Series in the following year and actually win it were the Oakland Athletics in 1989. And at the same time for the New York Mets, they are hopeful that the long layoff has not hurt them because, again, they clinched the National League pennant last Wednesday night. At the same time, the Royals have had a bit of a rest themselves as they took care of business in the ALCS versus the Toronto Blue Jays last Friday. And I think the rest period, you look at 6 days for the Mets between game four of the NLCS and game one of the World Series and 3 days for the Royals, I think it's going to help both teams, especially the Mets, because this is a team and an organization that has not been in this situation since 2000 when they lost to the New York Yankees in five games. On top of that, the New York media has taken this story and run with it, and rightfully so, because it is not every single day that you're talking about the Mets in the World Series. At the same time, there are a lot of people that want to give the Mets plenty of attention, which they deserve. Family, friends, this, that, and the third. The Mets have had an opportunity to get all of that out of their system, still come back to Citi Field and Flushing for a few days and get some quality work in, and then they were able to get out to Kansas City and get some quality work in there as well. So I think the rest will help them. The question marks will come for this New York Mets lineup. You look first and foremost at Daniel Murphy, and I mean, this guy has been unbelievable. All of these consecutive games that he's hit a home run in during the playoffs, and I mean, this is a guy, he single-handedly put the Mets on his back in their NLDS victory over the Los Angeles Dodgers. He always came up with the big hit in the NLCS against the Chicago Cubs, and I mean, he's gotten hot at the right time, and just hopeful if you're the Mets that the six-day layoff won't hurt him. But at the same time, you looked at the series that the Mets had with the Cubs, and some of the bats were beginning to come around. You look at David Wright, their captain at third base, and the same thing can be said for Lucas Duda at first base. I look for a guy in Yoenis Cespedes. I know he had the cortisone shot in his shoulder after he injured it in game four of the LCS, but this is a guy, he's had an opportunity to rest. At the same time, like Murphy, he is a pending unrestricted free agent, and he wants to go out there and show what he can do. And what a better stage to do it on than in the World Series, more importantly, in New York City. Now, the Mets have a veteran presence in their lineup. I've talked about Wright, Murphy, and Cespedes, Duda. You also look at Curtis Granderson. This is his second time around a rodeo as far as the World Series. He was a member of the Detroit Tigers back in 2006 when they lost to the St. Louis Cardinals. And I mean, it surely left a bad taste in his mouth. I'm sure that that is something that he is trying to get across to this Mets team, as more importantly, they have to go out there and seize the moment. Then you look at this Mets pitching staff, and I mean, they have a lot of young arms. They've been lights out in this postseason. You look at Matt Harvey, who's going to get the start for game one, Jacob DeGrom in game two, Noah Syndergaard in game three, and Steven Matz in game four. And you look at Harvey, he's a big game pitcher. You just have to wonder about the extra rest that he has received. This is a guy who has not pitched since game one of the NLCS. And when he's on normal rest, he's lights out. When he has the extra rest, he can be shaky. But at the same time, DeGrom has been phenomenal with his power pitches, and the same thing can be said about Syndergaard behind them. But you look at this Kansas City Royals team, And there is something special about them because they have a never say die attitude. And this team grew up in a hurry because the Royals came out of nowhere last year. They snuck into the playoffs. They got one of the wild card spots in 2014 in the AL. They did not give up when they fell behind early in the wild card game last year to the Oakland Athletics. They, in turn, swept the LA Angels, and then they swept the Baltimore Orioles before giving the San Francisco Giants all that they could handle last year in the World Series. And we saw it again this year in the playoffs. I mean, Kansas City fell behind 2-1 to the Houston Astros in the ALDS. They were down 6-2. And going into the eighth inning of game four, and they rallied to score 7 consecutive runs and win that game. And then you look, go back to the ALCS, and you see how they were just consistently grinding, and they never gave up against the Toronto Blue Jays. And that's something that this young Mets team is going to have to deal with, because you have guys on this Royals team that hate to lose more than they enjoy winning. And when you have guys like that on your squad, it's very tough. And I mean, you look at some of their key guys in this lineup. You look at Sal Perez at catcher, Eric Hosmer at first base, Lorenzo Cain in the outfield, Alex Gordon. You bring in a veteran from the Tampa Bay Rays and Oakland Athletics in Ben Zobrist. You also have Mike Moustakas, who has been a contributor for this team. So this Mets pitching staff is going to have their hands full with the Kansas City Royals, because the Mets pitching staff relies on the strikeouts, and the Royals hitters aren't prone to strikeout. They love to work counts, they love to foul off pitches, and they love to frustrate pitchers. So it's going to be an interesting matchup between the Mets pitching staff and the Royals lineup. At the same time, you look at this Royals pitching staff, and they're predicated by their bullpen. So it's going to be important for the New York Mets to get to this Kansas City starting pitching staff, and I'm talking about Yordano Ventura, Edison Volquez, who will get the start in game one, Johnny Cueto, and a former Mets starting pitcher in Chris Young. The Mets lineup has to find a way to get to these guys early, because you don't want to have that Kansas City Royals bullpen coming in with a lead, and I'm talking about Kelvin Herrera, Ryan Madsen, and Wade Davis. But at the same time, for the Mets, they have a solid closer themselves in Jerry's Familia, as he's been lights out during this playoff run for them, and he's basically been unhittable. Then you look at the coaches, or the managers rather. Of course, Terry Collins, who has been embattled for the majority of his time with the Mets, and Ned Yost for the Kansas City Royals. And you look at Terry Collins, typically people sit back and question his moves. But so far in the postseason, everything the TC has done for the Mets has really worked. You go back to game five, and some people, myself included, question him bringing in Jerry's Familia for a 6-out save as opposed to a 3-out save in game five of the LDS over the Dodgers. But it worked out in the favor of the Mets. And on top of that, he has simply pushed all of the right buttons down the stretch for this team. And that will continue heading for the Mets heading into the Fall Classic, because you need a strategic manager who's going to go out there and make the risky moves, take the blame when they don't work, and take the success and all the gratitude that comes with it. I think this is going to be a back and forth series. You're not going to have too many blowouts here, because you have two very competitive teams. I give the pitching edge to the Mets. I give the balance in the lineup to the Royals. And if it comes down to the bullpens, it's simply a toss-up, which means that we are going to be in store for a good series. Coming into the playoffs, I said the Mets were going to win the World Series, and I'm going to stick by that. And I'm going to take the New York Mets over the Kansas City Royals in 6 games. And once again, this should be a very, very exciting Fall Classic. So folks, that's going to just about wrap it up, and I want to thank you for tuning in to the 300 Pounds of Sports Knowledge Podcast. Now, be sure to check out blogtalkradio.com/300 Pounds of Sports Knowledge this Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. on the West Coast, as I will be recapping the day's action from week number 8 in the National Football League. Now, if you're on Twitter, please feel free to follow me at 300 Pounds of Sports. And like I always say, if you follow me, it is always my pleasure to follow you right back. Also, there is a Facebook page at 300 Pounds of Sports Knowledge. You can check that out, and you are more than welcome to like it as well. Once again, fine folks, my name is William Martin. Take care and have yourselves a wonderful day.